Amen. Praise the Lord. Children's Church, we're going to pause for just a minute for our tradition of the Advent season. And Advent means our anticipation of the coming of Jesus Christ as a baby, and also anticipating him coming, you know, in the rapture and taking us on to heaven. And so we have one last candle that we're going to light, and Mr. Jesse and Miss Mary, if they could come up. Mr. Jesse is going to read the Advent scripture readings, and then they're going to light the candle. Amen?
This is probably the first verse is probably the most famous verse in the Bible. It starts in John 3:16. We'll read 3:16 through 19. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whosoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Thank you, Lord.
Everybody said amen. Amen. So the candles, the first one was the candle of hope. And then we had the candle of faith. And then the candle of joy. And now this one is the candle of love. That's why God so loved all of us that he sent his Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Wow. Merry Christmas, guys. Merry Christmas. Thank you guys for volunteering and all the other folks that volunteered. So we're going to be in Exodus chapter 3, if you have your Bibles. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 1 through 14. 1 through 14. If you guys want to stand for reading of God's Word, let's do that. I'm trying to do that. I keep forgetting sometimes, but I think that's kind of a good little tradition also. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 14, and I'll read it, so be patient with me. It's quite a bit. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. When Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn? So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppressed them. It says, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All right, so in these Advent messages, we've had three or four Advent messages, and we had the musical. And during these messages, I've been looking at some of the names God uses for the coming of the Messiah. We've looked at the names like Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, and Everlasting Father. And guys, these are names of salvation. These are names of victory. These names give us victory. These are filled with hope and strength and security. Amen? All these precious names. So in this last Advent message, I want to highlight the most important name that's above every name for God, and that's the name I Am. Now in the Hebrew, I Am is Yahweh. And in the Latin, it means Jehovah. So I'm going to be in a teaching mode this morning, so hang with me if you're taking notes. In the Latin, it means Jehovah. It's the name that God uses for himself over 6,000 times in the Old Testament. I was like, what? I never heard that before. So when I was studying this, I looked at it, so I looked back, and yeah, it's actually about 6,500 times. He says, I am was the name God used when Israel was in trouble. Whenever they had a need, God used this name for himself, I Am. He would say to them, I am Jehovah. He would then follow up with the I Am word based on whatever they needed. Okay, based on whatever they needed. It meant like whatever they lacked in life, whatever they were deficient in, he would supply it. He could and he would each time. In the book of Exodus, when the people of Israel were sick, God called himself Jehovah Rapha. And that word Rapha means healer. So Jehovah means what? I am. Rapha means healer. So God was telling them, I am your healer. In the book of Leviticus, when Moses laid out the whole law to them and told them how to walk uprightly and holy before God, the people said, who could do that? How can we do that? How can we live perfect? How can we live and obey every single law? And that's when God told them that he was Jehovah Mekadishkim. Say that three times. He was Jehovah Mekadishkim. And that Mekadishkim means sanctifier. So Jehovah Mekadishkim, he was saying, I am your sanctifier. He was basically telling them, I am the God that enables you to walk with me. I am the God who takes care of you, who gives you strength, who gives you courage. This is what he was telling them. He was saying that I am is the power that gives us life. When the prophet Jeremiah was discouraged because the children of Israel persistently just had this inability to follow God and walk in faith, Jeremiah called out to God in despair and asked him, how can we even live? How can we even survive? He said that we are such a sinful people and that we are weak. And God said, yeah, you're right. But he said he was Jehovah Tiskenu. Jehovah Tiskenu. That word Tiskenu means righteousness. In other words, God was saying, I am your righteousness. In the prophet Ezekiel's day, the people of Israel felt scared and alone because they had these armies and enemies all around about them. God said he was Jehovah Shema. And that word Shema means ever-present one. So he was saying, Jehovah, I am. In other words, he was saying to them, I am the ever-present one. That's why he said he would never leave us. When King David felt lost and confused, he felt like he didn't have any friends. He felt like he didn't have a friend anywhere in the world. He called God Jehovah Ra. And that Ra means good shepherd. Jehovah I am. So God was telling King David, I am the good shepherd. To Abraham, who faced an impossible circumstance with no way out, God revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh. And that word Jireh means provider. So he was telling Abraham, I am your provider. And to the prophet Isaiah, who wasn't sure how he or the nation of Israel could survive even one more day, God said he was Jehovah Sabaoth. That Sabaoth means defender. And God is telling them, Jehovah, I am your defender. I am the God who fights for you. Now, all that sounds really cool, and I actually enjoyed putting this all together because it was really kind of motivating. But here's where it gets really interesting. You guys ready? You see, when Jesus, the promised Messiah, the manifestation of God, when he came to live among us, he came to be born as a baby and lived his life, just like Isaiah prophesied. When this happened, Jesus did the exact same thing as God did in the Old Testament. He did the exact same thing as his Father. He took the name of God, I Am, because he is God. He was God, he is God. He took the name I Am and he applied it to whatever we need. Whatever we're in need of, Jesus applies the same name, I Am. Whether we have hurts, habits, or hang-ups, whether we have a need for healing, whether emotionally or physically, Jesus says, I am. Let me give a couple examples. For those who hunger, he says in John 6, I am the bread of life. To those who thirst, he says in John 7, let him come to me and drink, for I am the living water. To those in darkness, Jesus declares in John 8, I am the light of the world. And those who are in need of a fresh start, Jesus says in John 10, I am the door. To those who feel abandoned, he says, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. For those who feel lost, John 14, Jesus says, I am the way. To those who may feel confused, he says, I am the truth. For those who feel afraid, he says, I am the life. You see, guys, all that you need, all that you lack, all that you could never be in yourself, Jesus is to you as the great I am. So I have one question for all of us this morning as we look at all the Advent messages. Are you living in the fullness of His name? In Exodus 27, which is Ten Commandments, it tells us to not take the Lord's name in vain. Now, I used to think that meant don't say a curse word, you know, a curse word with God's name in there, you know, GD or whatever craziness people come up with. And I still think that's wrong, and I think we shouldn't do that, and it's completely wrong. But it's not necessarily that, when you look at that scripture, you study it, it's not necessarily about how to speak God's word, but it's really about how to take God's word. When you become a Christian, you took the name of God unto yourself. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, at that time became God with you and God within you. He united himself to you. That really means whatever the I am is now has become in you. Think about that. We all know that. We all know that. But the great I am lives within us. We have become united. Let me give you an example. You ready? Once upon a time, there was a beautiful young girl. Her name was Beatrice Lynn Murray. And on the greatest day of her life, here on planet Earth, she met her prince in shining armor. Several months later, she found herself standing at the altar next to her Prince Charming, which was me. And she became a Bennett. My last name. Now, it took a while for the Navy to change all her names on her uniform, but that's beside the point. She was mine. Now I was hers. But more than anything, we became one. We became one. When she was united to me in marriage, she took my last name. And what was mine became hers, and what was hers became mine. And at that time, it wasn't very much. But you see, in the similar same way, when you become a Christian, you took the name of God into yourself. And the great I am now lives inside of you. His everything is within you, and His ability to help you is inside of you. 2 Peter 1:4a says this, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Ephesians 3:6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel. Amen? What that really means is, whatever you're not, whatever you need, whatever you lack, whatever you're not getting from somebody else, to you, Jesus says, I am. I am. But you may say, God, I'm so messed up. He says, yeah, But I am so complete. You say, I am so deficient. And he says, I am so sufficient. You say, I am so doubtful. He replies, I am so faithful. You say, I am so sinful. He says, yes, but I am so grateful. Graceful. You say, I'm so weak. He says, yes, but I am so strong. My friends, believe it. It's the truth. Take his name. Take his name and walk with him and honor him and love him. And don't take his name in vain. When you doubt yourself and you doubt that things are going to work out, and when you doubt, don't do that. Know that God is with you. God is with you. You may not be strong, but he is. You may not know what the answer is, but he does. You may not know what's going to be down the road a year from now or 5 years from now, but he does. He knows everything. Stand in his name and know that God is with you. Even more, he is within you. So when those doubters and haters in your life say that, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? When we say that to ourselves, who am I? Who do I think I am that I could do this or that or this or that? When God asks you to do something and you say, I can't do that. I don't have those gifts. I don't have those abilities. I can't do that. Don't do that. God is with you. God is with you. Okay, I'm going to share it. Wrestle with the Lord enough about this one. If you back up in that scripture where, Derry, can you pull it up? Do you mind? That scripture where, I think it's like 11 to 12. All right, right here. Y'all look up there, right? Let's look up there. Don't turn your Bibles. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now, right there is where God had a great opportunity to say, Moses, you can do it. You can do it. Hang in there, Moses. Greater is he that's in you. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You're awesome. You can do it. Hang in there, Moses. Take it one step at a time. Right there, God had a great opportunity to motivate Moses. To motivate him. But God didn't. God didn't say one thing like, hang in there, Moses. You can do it, buddy. I believe in you. He didn't do anything like that. God didn't. What did he do? Right away, God said, I will certainly be with you. That's it. Don't let that go over your head, guys. It's got all of my spirit. I'm going to preach this tomorrow night at Cross Point Church. They invited me to be the Christmas speaker, so pray for me. But this is what I'm going to preach about. But think about that. That's all we need, is to know in the depths of our heart that God is with us. That's what he told Moses. And then check this part out. He said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. In other words, once you go through this trial, right? Once you get on through this, because I want to be with you, but once you get on through this, you'll know that I was with you and that I sent you, because you're going to have victory on the other side. You're going to stand there on the other side and you're going to say, that was God. That was God right there. God was sure with me. Amen? Amen. So that's all we need. Now, all those motivational statements, all those motivational scriptures are appropriate and they're great and they encourage us. But when it really comes down to the rubber meets the road, it's this I, you, me, all of us have got to realize one step at a time, one day at a time, that God's with us. Can I do this? I don't know. But I know God's with me. Amen? I'm way off my notes now. My friends, the I am Christ living us is the power for living. It's our power for living. It's our power. It's the hope of the glory. And this comes from Colossians. Colossians 1:27 says this. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. The hope of glory. That's the mystery. The mystery is that Christ is in us. The great I am is in us now. The hope of glory. So, I'll close. Are you living in the fullness of His name? Is He really your wonderful counselor? Is He your Prince of Peace? Is He your everlasting Father? Now, this year has been very challenging for most people, and we're about to say goodbye to 2020. And we'll have hope that 2021 will be better. Many people are going to look back at 2020 with maybe some bad memories, some sad memories, and some good memories. There's a lot of good things happened in 2020, isn't there? A lot of great and wonderful things. So this morning, I want to encourage you guys with this right here. Give me a couple more minutes. I want to encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus. The real reason for the season. Amen. As the Holy Spirit spoke through Luke, allow me to read the scripture. Luke 2:11-14. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Merry Christmas to you guys. God loves you, and so do I. And Lynn. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. Thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, on that Christmas day. Lord, if there's one here this morning that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, I just pray that they're in this song of invitation. They would come down and I'll be glad to pray with them. Make sure they're born again, going to heaven. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.